You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. In North Sacramento, the Dos Rios Light Rail Station near Eliza Street will connect residents of two housing developments, Twin Rivers and Cannery Place, with downtown Sacramento. And the station is part of the River District Project area. It's a greenhouse gas reducing area, and it's being funded by California's cap and trade dollars. Now, that's a lot to unpack in about two or three sentences. So in the studio with me to guide us through what's happening is Louise Bedsworth. She's the executive director of the Strategic Growth Council. This is a state agency that weaves a support network for these kinds of communities, areas like Twin Rivers and Cannery Place. Hi, Louise. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. Good morning.
Am I okay so far in the way we're unwrapping this?
Yes.
It is complicated. Stay with us. Professor Ajay Singh is here, too. He's assistant professor of environmental studies at Sacramento State, and he's going to guide us through the cap and trade part of the conversation. Hi, Professor. Glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So let's first talk about these communities, what they are, who they're for, how they've been designed. Louise?
Great. Yeah, so this is a project through our Transformative Climate Communities program, and this is funded through cap and trade dollars at the state level. And this is a program that is designed to support community-led initiatives that achieve environmental, public health, and economic goals in the state's most disadvantaged communities. And so those are communities that have high poverty, face a lot of environmental burden, and are ranked as our most disadvantaged across the state.
They're part of the bigger Sacramento River District project area?
Yes.
All right. So obviously there's a need for transportation because people have to move. And that's where your organization, the Strategic Growth Council, comes in. Although I think that's only one point of connection, correct?
Yes. So in this area, this community around Twin Rivers was pretty an isolated community with a lot of concentrated poverty. And so our investment is in an interconnected set of projects that will help to redelop the housing projects there, also invest in this light rail station that will build connectivity between this community and the rest of the city. And then we're also investing in some solar energy projects and urban greening, community gardens, and other benefits that will, help with job training and other projects throughout the community.
Ajay, there are a lot of words there, and maybe they all fit under one word, which is sustainable.
Yes.
And how is that critical to what's being developed, to what's new in the city, to the direction that this region is going?
Yeah, so sustainability has to do with there's three pillars. One is economic, the other one's environmental, and the other one's social. And so from what it sounds like, the Strategic Growth Council is really focusing on how do you connect people, so the social component. The light rail is definitely trying to get people off the road, so there's an environmental component. And there's also an economic component of trying to link people to maybe jobs and the rest of the community.
If I track the money here, one piece of this is that money is going from TCC, this Transformative Climate Communities Program, into this development and into specifically this light rail station, correct?
Yes. And so in this area, we're funding the light rail station. And then there are a number of other project partners who are working on other components. But the largest piece of this investment is in the light rail station.
And is that money what I can directly call Ajay cap and trade funds?
Yes. From what it sounds like, the Strategic Growth Council gets a portion of the revenue that's generated by auctions that are sold to power companies, to other industries that emit greenhouse gases. And part of that, those revenues, I believe the Strategic Growth Council gets about 20% of those auctions.
All right. For some people, all of that made sense. For others, we're going to do a sort of radio dot-to-dot project here, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's start with the fact that California has a carbon marketplace. Ajay, you begin there.
So first, you have to understand what is a cap-and-trade system. A cap-and-trade system is where the government caps the amount of greenhouse gases which are emitted here in California. After that, what they do is they create a market where industries can buy those credits if they emit those greenhouse gases. And those revenues then go to projects that help reduce those greenhouse gases.
I'm going to pause you because let's go just to the point that the money was raised. So it went to a state bank account from the marketplace. And then how do groups access that? How does somebody raise their hand and say, wow, I'd like some of that money. I have a project that I think qualifies.
So there's a number of things. One is that priorities are set by legislation and by the governor. Those funds first go in what's called the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. From there, state agencies, looking at the priorities that are set by legislatures, then figure out where should that money go and how can those funds be used for projects that are going to reduce those greenhouse gases.
Have you stepped into the picture yet at this point?
Yes. So we have the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, and at the Strategic Growth Council, we administer, so we're an administering department, we administer several programs under the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. The legislature has set priorities around investing in disadvantaged communities and low-income communities around the state, and then a commitment to reduce greenhouse gas emissions through these investments. So we receive both a continuous appropriation, which means every single year we receive 20% of the cap and trade revenue to support affordable housing and sustainable communities. And then we also receive other appropriations such as this, the Transformative Climate Communities Program, where annually we receive money. And then we run our program, which is a competitive grant program. We work with communities. We provide technical assistance and support to help communities access these funds. And then, you know, they will submit their projects to us, and then we select the projects, and then we work with them to help implement them on the ground.
So if I'm a developer that wanted to work on Twin Rivers or Cannery Place, am I the one that's going to write the grant and submit it to you for funding?
Well, you could be. It's not a satisfying answer. But yes, in some cases, we do have housing developers who will write grants and work on projects for us. And others will have a local government lead or, in some cases, a nonprofit lead. And it really is what works for the community. So especially in transformative climate communities, the core of this program is that it's community-led. So there's a collaborative structure of residents, businesses, and others who've developed a vision. And then the investments are intended to be projects that will contribute to achieving that vision. So what that model looks like really varies by community.
The project, though, meaning, I don't know if this means overall the big Sacramento River District project or that light rail station in particular, is going to reduce greenhouse gases through looking at both the source of emissions and the addition of electric vehicles, a number of different ways that it becomes sustainable and contributing to a clean environment.
Yes. So this is intended to provide a clean transportation option that connects residents to businesses and jobs and other destinations. We'll also have jump bike stations nearby, electric vehicle charging. So all to provide additional mobility options that will be low greenhouse gas emitting options.
All right. And with that dot in the picture, I think it almost swings us all the way back around to the carbon marketplace, because those projects help Sacramento and this region of the state in being able to get more credits on the marketplace, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. So, first, what you have to understand is that both the emitters and any projects have to track how much greenhouse gases they're emitting and how much they're avoiding. So in the case of the light rail station, whoever applies for those funds has to justify their proposal by saying how many greenhouse gases they believe are going to be reduced. But as far as the credits are on the cap and trade side, yes, there is a mechanism for offsets. So for example, if an industry doesn't want to buy any credits, what they can do is they can invest in projects like this one, perhaps, where they can say we're offsetting our emissions by reducing someone else's emissions.
That is Sac State Environmental Studies Professor Ajay Singh. I'm also talking with Louise Bedsworth. She's the executive director of the Strategic Growth Council. I feel like we just made a picture there that seemed to make sense. I know there are pieces of it that I missed. What else is important to know in how this happens? And again, I use the words complex and complicated. So everybody involved in this has to be acquiring some level of sophistication to navigate the system.
Yes. I mean, I think, again, with this Transformative Climate Communities program, really the key to it is this community-led initiative. And so in the case of Twin Rivers, it's really how do we connect this community? How do we make an investment that will help to catalyze transformation, which encompasses making the environment cleaner, but also creating economic opportunity and providing, you know, protecting public health, ensuring that the residents who live there are not displaced by these investments. So all of this is the work we're trying to support on the ground that is ultimately going to be led in partnership with us by the residents of that area.
This isn't the only project happening right now under this umbrella. Will you describe some of the others? Because they're not just cookie cutter applications or developments.
No, this program, every project is unique. And so we've conducted two rounds of this this initiative. And this, we just awarded this grant to Sacramento in December. At the same time, we supported Pacoima, which is down in Los Angeles. That the lead applicant there is a nonprofit, collaborative, neighborhood-based group. In previous rounds, we supported work in Ontario, California, down in Watts, and in Fresno. And so in each of these, we see a different collection of investments. So in Fresno, for instance, a cornerstone investment is in the local community college. In other areas, we see a larger investment in housing, perhaps with some electric bus infrastructure connecting to destinations. In many cases, we tend to see urban greening, so tree planting, community gardens. Some common threads across all of these investments, though, is that every project has a community engagement plan, this collaborative stakeholder structure I keep mentioning, at its core. Every project has a workforce development plan. So that is, how do we ensure that these investments are creating opportunities for job training and ultimately placement into jobs? And then how do we avoid displacement? So a big challenge when you're investing in disadvantaged communities is ensuring that the residents and businesses who are there don't get pushed out by that investment. So in every project area, we help to develop these plans to ensure that the residents who are there benefit from these investments.
What is the update? What is happening right now with the Los Rios Light Rail Station development with Cannery Place and also the Twin Rivers development?
So for us, we made this award in December. So we are working with all of the project partners and the community to finalize the details to get a grant agreement in place so that we can get funding flowing to the project.
And how many residents might live in those areas if they're built according to the plans?
I believe it's going to be tens of thousands of residents as over phases of time. Yeah.
Getting back to the cap and trade program, Ajay, is this proving to be an effective model for reducing greenhouse gas emissions? And that's asking somewhat for an immediate outcome as well as what the projected long-term outcome is.
That's a very complicated question. I think that the cap and trade system as it is right now is very flexible, wherein the state is trying to figure out how do you reduce greenhouse gases without harming the economy. And so the way that it's been set up is that there is a price floor and there's a price ceiling for allowances, so for the allowances that industries buy. And right now, what we have is that the price of those allowances has pretty much hugged the floor. Mm-hmm. It hasn't gone quite above that floor. The price ceiling is about $50 per allowance. And so while there's been billions of dollars, there's been about $8 billion that's been generated since 2014, which is quite a bit of money to then go into projects like these. But are we going to be reducing our greenhouse gas emissions over time? That's a big question. I think that's a question that we need to be cognizant of as we are not only reducing the amount of allowances that are available in the market, but also our industries starting to invest in technologies and practices that reduce those emissions as well. And then on the flip side, where are those investments being put in? Are they actually reducing some greenhouse gases?
I heard you essentially repeating the question I asked you.
Yes.
So there hasn't been intensive study yet to know any conclusion.
Not to my knowledge. There has been a lot of tracking of, industries are need to track how much greenhouse gases they're emitting. And we know how many credits that they're buying. But as far as are we going to meet the goals of reducing greenhouse gases below 40% below 1990 levels by 2030, that's a pretty big goal based upon where we are right now and where we need to be.
That's Sac State Environmental Studies Professor Ajay Singh. I'm also talking with the Executive Director of the Strategic Growth Council, Louise Bedsworth. And Louise, of that $8 billion, how much have you seen move or is in the process of moving to projects?
So at the Strategic Growth Council, we've overseen about $1 billion in investment through the Transformative Climate Communities Program, but then also through our Affordable Housing and Sustainable Communities Program. In that program, we invest in housing interconnected to transportation projects in infill areas across the state. For every project, we quantify avoided greenhouse gas emissions and also look at the other benefits that are coming from these investments around economic opportunity, connectivity, mobility, public health, helping to build resilience in communities. And these are all priorities that have been established by the legislature for our investments.
If the cap and trade program ends, if the marketplace stops, do these projects stop? Is there an alternative funding source?
I mean, this is a significant area of investment. So for us right now, our projects are funded through this program. And if it were to end, I think for now we would not have this funding available.
So that is a question. Does this become somewhat of a self-fulfilling kind of plan because it starts to generate the kind of growth and change and impact that communities are looking for? Does that, in essence, preserve the cap and trade funding boilerplate or template?
That's interesting. That's an interesting point of are we going to need this cap and trade system in perpetuity? Are we going to continue this into the future? And my sense is yes, because the only alternative that we have is something like a carbon tax, where we apply a tax to consumer goods. And what we've seen is that Australia and British Columbia have tried a carbon tax, but it's a regressive tax. It hurts, meaning that taxes that are, it burdens poorer folks. So a cap and trade system is a better system for us right now. Whether we transition to something like a carbon tax is a good question.
All right. Well, we started this by talking about the Los Rios Light Rail Rapid Transit Station. If somebody happened to be hearing this conversation, Louise, and had a project or wanted to connect dots, what's the first step? Where does someone with an idea or a plan begin?
Well, in terms of accessing funding, I would definitely encourage folks to come to the Strategic Growth Council's website, sgc.ca.gov. I think also looking for partners. A lot of our projects, we see a lot of partnership happening and collaboration to bring together multiple benefits of these investments. And then additionally, we have a number of technical assistance and capacity building programs that we provide that can help folks to identify our funding projects, but then also potentially identify other greenhouse gas reduction fund investment opportunities.
I want to thank you both because we waded into some deep waters here. And there's a lot to talk about. And we find ourselves continually, I do anyway, needing to and wanting to explain and understand cap and trade as a market to begin with. But then where it reaches out in the state is fascinating and very busy. So we'll post some links so that people can get connected. Again, thank you both for the conversation.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Louise Bedsworth is the Executive Director of the Strategic Growth Council. Ajay Singh is Professor of Environmental Studies at Sacramento State. As you know, we have been monitoring the State of the City address by Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg, and we do have a bit of sound to share with you right now.
The shooting of Stephon Clark, less than a mile from where we gather this morning, did not create this moment. But it undoubtedly intensified and elevated the movement by ripping open deep wounds in our past. How do I, as your mayor, give voice to the pain that is so real and so raw in our community? How do I, as a relatively privileged white man, let my suffering community members know that they do not suffer alone? That their elected leaders are genuinely committed to change? How do I step into your shoes? I start by saying and meaning the only thing that I know matters to Stephon's family and many in our community. I am deeply sorry for what happened to Stephon. I am deeply sorry for the pain that will always be with you. The outcome was wrong. He should not have died.
That is Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg. Those are some of his remarks still happening at this moment in South Sacramento. His annual State of the City address being taken for the first time outside the immediate city in the South Sacramento area in the neighborhood of Meadowview, where on March 18th of 2018, Stephon Clark was shot and killed by police. You're hearing some of what the mayor promised as his very personal remarks as he continues to wrestle himself with what happened and evidenced by what he just said there. The Cap Radio News team is at the event. There will be continuing coverage throughout the day. You can find more at capradio.org. This is Insight on Cap Radio.